Wellington City Mayor Justin Lester. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
You were in the vicinity of the fire this morning, or you could at least see it?
Yes, I was. It's just a couple of blocks away from the council, actually, and the roads have been blocked off, so caused a little bit of traffic chaos. But it seems that things are now moving on, and I think all's looking okay.
Oriental Bay, the latest in the plan for Cycleway. You were of course, among those to turn the sod, as it said, on the Eastern Bay Cycleway on Monday. Now we wake up this morning and find out about this fairly drastic plan to reduce parking spots on just a small section of Oriental Bay to start with, and then, of course, that would, I'd imagine, continue around. What's your initial view, having seen what it could look like and the effect on businesses?
I'll come to that in just one second. Just before, though, I've just heard your announcement that you're heading off to Australia.
Oh, so I am, yes.
I do want to say, look, we've really enjoyed having you here in Wellington, Tim. You've been a great stalwart.
Thank you.
We are going to miss you. And is this part of a more of a cultural exchange or part of the famed brain drain to Australia?
What was I say? Who is the one who said that that New Zealanders moving to Australia raised the IQ of both countries?
I think that might have been Robert Muldoon.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I hope that's not an indictment on you and your IQ. I think you'll be a big loss to the city.
Thank you very much for that. But I will be here for the rest of the year or so. So we will continue on with local matters, including including this one about the cycleway. The reaction I've had this morning from a lot of people is that this is just barking mad. What's planned around Oriental Parade?
So at the moment, that's exactly it. We don't have any plans, and that's why we're going out to the community and say, oh, what do you think? So I was at the sod turning on Monday morning with Simon Bridges. So across the country, the government has put up $333 million because they've recognised that we need better quality cycling infrastructure around New Zealand. That's not just for cycling. I mean, if most people come to me and they say, look, they see more people out in the streets. I think between the last two censuses, we had a 72% increase in the number of people cycling. And what we don't want is motorists mixing with cyclists, mixing with pedestrians. So the government saw this as an opportunity. They've put $333 million across New Zealand. So this isn't just Wellington. This is Auckland. This is Christchurch. This is Rotorua, Dunedin, Palmerston North, and pretty much most cities in between, any urban context. So in Wellington, we've been given, we've got a $37 million program to roll out over 4 years. And there's a whole lot of that taking place already. The Hutt Roads, it's underway and it's looking pretty good. And there'll be other aspects. We look forward to announcements between Petone and coming into the CBD as well on the part of the Great Harbour Way, so the Seaward side. The ambition is to get a cycling connection all the way from Upper Hutt through to Miramar, and incorporating all of the harbour as well. So this is part of it. We don't have any plans here. It's more of a going out there and saying, oh, look, what can we do? How can we make this work? And I'm always confident of getting good compromise if you're pragmatic and you take a reasonable approach.
Would you be comfortable with the plan that's on the front of the paper this morning, where angle parks would be turned into parallel parks and you'd see effectively a halving of the number of car parks available?
I just want to make it really clear. That's not the plan. There is no plan at the moment because we're going out there and just seeking ideas and feedback. So so there is no plan. There's no plan until we get some recommendations to come to a council table, and we're months away from doing that.
So you've never seen this plan until it was on the front, or this idea until it was on the front of the paper this morning?
No, there are always options, and the options span from status quo and do nothing through to change everything. So at the moment, there is absolutely no plan. There are just ideas. And we've got some council staff going out there and talking to people about what are your ideas. So when we had the sod turning this past week, so we've committed to now doing from the cutting in Miramar through to Hataitai, so along Cobham Drive. And that's a really easy one, and it's got wholesale support from people. So we're spending some money. For every dollar we put in, we get a whole lot of more money from the government. So every $33 we spend, we get $100 in total, so $67 comes from them. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. So Wellington should put its hand up and say, if the government's willing to fund this, and we're doing it all over the country, we want to do something in Wellington too. And it is for a specific time period.
Do you believe that we as Wellingtonians have to expect that we will lose parking spaces to make way for cycleways? And I know there's a similar issue for Thorndon Quay, for example, where retailers there are really concerned about the idea that the parks outside a lot of those businesses there, some of them could go to make way for it. Yet another cycle lane?
Oh, look, what I want to do is always be smart about how we do it. You want to try and find space where there wasn't any previously. We've done that with the Leonie Gill pathway, which cuts through what was effectively road reserve or drainage reserve, I think. And so no car parks were affected. Likewise, you know, we've been doing a lot of work on Island Bay, and within the next probably 3 weeks, we'll have, I think, a really good resolution there. We've seen good buy-in from the Residents Association and also cycling supporters, and again, there won't be an impact on car parks. Likewise with Thorndon Quay, I had Thorndon Quay business owners in last week, and we had some officer ideas, and we had some of their feedback, and I think we're almost close to working through a solution there too, which will mean they won't be impacted, okay. But we'll also see some cycling improvements. So it's really, you get to the table and then you say, okay, well, what works? And you get a good solution, and so far we're seeing some good levels of success with it.
Okay, I don't want to spend a whole piece talking about cycleways, but Island Bay, you just mentioned there that you're hopeful there can be a solution found on what to do in Island Bay without removing any further parks that are currently there at the moment?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Even though there is fear among, this is again, fear among local residents that they're going to lose potentially dozens of parks.
No, and that won't happen. So, well, we've got a good compromise solution we're working up. Give us a 2 to 3 more weeks. I think we're going to have a report on about the 27th of September.
Okay.
And I think we've got a good option.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of car parks, price of parking in the city went up to $4.50 an hour. Again, retailers saying that they're concerned that it's becoming increasingly hard. Well, firstly, it's becoming expensive for people to park in the city, but also it's hard to find a park, you know, with those parking buildings which are still out of action. We know what happened with the Reading Cinemas car park. Are you worried that there is such a push to make it too hard for people to park in Wellington that you're really going to impact on the number of people going into local businesses?
No, well, I'd hope not, because I've owned a retail business for the last 11 years.
Yeah, you have. And so you would understand the importance of being able to find a park.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, to be honest, no cars park their car when they come up to one of my stores in the front of the store. They walk up and they purchase their goods. But we need to get that balance. You're right. We need to make sure it's easy for people to be in the city, and people will come in a range of different ways. We have had some impacts after the earthquake. We all know that. We've had 3 car parks that have gone out, and that's because they've had earthquake problems, but they'll come back. And we had that after the 2013 earthquake as well. So we did do a whole lot of things, particularly around Christmas, make it easier for people to get in, helping with public transport and subsidising that. But I, perhaps keener than a lot of other people in the city too, have an active stake in this. I still own a retail business. Or certainly have a stake in one with my business partner.
Mm.
I'm aware of that. In terms of putting up car parking in the city, look, we went out extensively through our annual plan. This wasn't anything to do with retail or car parking. It was the fact that car park prices haven't increased for 13 years. It's been at $4 for 13 years. We haven't increased the pricing, and we said, okay, well, we can charge a little bit more on rates. There's about $500,000 there. And that'll put rates up an extra 0.2%. So you could do it that way, and we all pay, or we put the car parking up by a small amount, and it hasn't gone up for 13 years. We thought that was a reasonable approach. It was unanimous around the council table, and we had good levels of support as well.
Okay.
So it's nothing to do with that. It's more, okay, what are the options? Put rates up, or we charge a little bit more for the car parks being used. And that was made way back last year, okay. And then came into effect more recently.
Okay. By the way, if you would like to have a question to Wellington City Mayor, he's more than happy to take your questions. He'll be with me for the next 10 minutes or so. 0800 80 1080 and 472 1035. Justin Lester with me through until around 10:30. So if you would like to ask the Mayor a question, this is your opportunity to do so. I'll try and get to some that are coming through on the text and email as well.
Call 472 1035 to talk back with Tim Fuchs on Newstalk ZB. With Wellington International Airport, it's always cheaper when you book your airport parking online at wellingtonairport.co.nz.
It is 23 past 10. Wellington City Mayor Justin Lester with me through until around 10:30. Do I have a chat with him in a moment about where we're up to with the indoor arena for Wellington and also Shelley Bay? But we'll get to some questions coming through. Claudette, you're first up. Morning to you.
Thank you, dear. Is Justin there?
Yes.
Morning, Claudette.
Hello, Justin. It's Claudette or Claudie. How are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, good enough. But, you know, the cycleway, we're not against cyclists. I think they're lovely. I've got cyclists in my family. What I want, please, if we're going to do Oriental Bay, it's such a broad pavement. Why don't we do a cycle lane part of the pavement? You know, you could manage like that without interfering with the car parks.
That's a very good idea, and that is probably one of the options. That's what we've just done. We're just getting underway on Cobham Drive. So we're having a separate footpath and then a separate cycling path, and then the cars are quite separate again. And really, that's an urban development project. So hopefully that'll get good usage, and I can imagine a lot of people want to cycle around the bays and, okay, and head out there.
So you'd split the footpath in half, would you? Half of them cyclists, half of them people walking around.
Yeah, and that's again one of the options we're looking at for Island Bay, and it looks like a really good compromise option.
Okay, thanks for that question, Claudette. Janetta, good morning.
Good morning. Can I do his worship, please?
Yes, he is here.
Hi, Jeanette.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Excellent. It's started out a wee bit wet, but now it's pretty good.
Yes, it's going to clear up, I think. Justin, could you please give us an update on what's happening to the town hall?
Yes, so we are well underway with that. So we will commence with the works on site. We're doing all the detailed design at the moment in the new year. And then the aim is to have that completed. So we're base isolating all of the town hall. The cost is about $90 million. So it's an expensive project, but one that's absolutely necessary. And it'll be finished by about June 2021. So unfortunately, it'll take some time, but that is the fastest we can go. And then we'll have the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra and Te Kōki, so Victoria University School of Music, both of them will be moving in. We've got a 25-year lease with them, and that will become the cultural hub and cultural precinct for all of Wellington.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, Janetta. Thank you for that. Not too late if you would like to ask the Mayor a question. He'll be with me for a bit longer. 0800 80 1080 472 1035. Justin Lester is with me. Joe, good morning.
Hi, Tim, and hi, Justin. I just wanted to ask why you are not spending more on planning and for cars. And the reason why I'm asking that is the Ministry of Transport did a study last year, which councils, I believe, should be following, which actually analysed how many people use the different modes of transport. And from that study, 79% of people use cars. And on the basis of what you've spent on the Island Bay cycleway, $2 million already, you should be spending $158 million per year to benefit car users. And the annual plan only showed $43.3 million per year for car-related improvements. So I'd like to ask, why is the council not doing more for car users because more people use cars?
Thank you very much for the question, Joe.
Yeah, and thank you for the question, Joe. And the honest answer is we are. So we can't just look in isolation. Island Bay is an example. It's a capital project. It's a one-off. So we spend tens of millions of dollars every year on roads. And I acknowledge that the vast majority of people do use roads. But we want to get balance in the system as well. So we want to focus on our public transport system, our roading network, and then what we call active modes, so those that are walking and that are cycling. We're really lucky in Wellington. We have about 17% of people every day, their commute into town is by walking. And that's great because it's 17% of people that could be driving and aren't. And that's how the road system works. And we're really lucky to have that balance because we're far ahead of any other city in Australasia in terms of the number of people that will jump on a bus or will jump in on a bike or will walk. And if we have those people transferring and just getting in a car, and then that will just lead to congestion. I've just spent some time in LA, and it's they've got plenty of freeways, but the system is completely congested, and the same problem in Auckland. So we need that balance.
I would like to say that a part of our congestion problem is the lack of spending on roads and the lack of motorways. I've had the fastest trip in Auckland using the tunnel there recently, and I've done that trip for many, many years. And it's because of that tunnel to the west that it was the fastest trip to my parents in years. And that tunnel, Auckland's been building motorways like crazy. Our systems, our congestion in Wellington has got worse.
Yeah, so just on that, so in terms of this capital investment program, so we've got Transmission Gully being built now. That's about a $1 billion project, and it'll be finished by, I think, April 2020. And we've got options coming forward. So they'll be revealed in November, the end of November. The only reason it's been delayed, one of the reasons, is because we've got an election on at the moment. And we've got looking at options there, spanning a range of $300 million of investment to try and improve the transport system, all the way through to $1.6 billion. And that'll be across a range of modes, but a big chunk of that will also be looking at improving the motorways around the city. So there is a whole lot of money being spent, and it's coming forward very shortly.
Okay, thank you very much for that question, Joe. A lot of email questions coming, a lot of text questions as well. I still do want to get to the mayor talking about the arena and Shelley Bay, but we'll just continue with your questions coming at the moment. Lance, good morning.
Yeah, good day, Justin. Hey, I'm worried about the way the councils, and correct me if I've got my facts wrong, please. I'm worried that concerned about the way the council is shutting down access for vehicles around the city, i.e. Obviously that the bike thing's been mentioned quite a bit, but as I understand it, you're looking at closing off the bottom end of Tory Street. Now, I've been a tenant in Tory Street for about 12 years, and it's a main thoroughfare of... You've got one other main access, which is Taranaki Street, and all the other streets going up towards Vivian Street don't continue all the way. But Tory Street goes all the way from Te Papa right up to Vivian, which is a main access route. And as I understand it, you're looking at shutting that off and putting in a nice little walking park area.
Well, that's look. Thanks for that, Lance. That's what I read somewhere as well, Justin. That the idea was you may turn that into a pedestrian area. That's that stretch of lower Tory Street.
Yeah, and again, looking at options. I mean, the city's always evolving, and we've seen that in time. Look, we've just spent quite a bit of money on investing in our laneways. So why did we do that? Because they were the most dangerous places in the city. So places like Hever and Leeds Street, Egmont Street. Where our highest level of crime statistics were taking place in our laneways, so dark alleyways after dark, close to the entertainment precinct. So we've gone and invested money in them. We've created more pedestrian activity. A whole lot of businesses have gone in. We want to activate those spaces and have more apartments around them too. And we do that to make the city safer. The city will continue to evolve. We've done things like, you know, Bond Street, for example. We've created more shared and activated space, Lower Cuba Street. Look, we're always open to ideas. So on Tory Street, they are looking at a temporary installation. How did that come about? Well, it came about because Tory Street was closed for a long period of time while those earthquake works were taking place. So we'll always look at options, but we're not changing anything without asking people. And we're certainly not anti-car. No, but what we are recognising is the CBD population is continuing to grow. It won't be long before it's our largest suburb in the whole of Wellington. The population has increased exponentially, really, in the last 10 years, and I expect over the next 10 years we'll be close to seeing that double. I know that on Victoria Street we're going to have about another 1,000 to 2,000 people living there in the course of the next 18 months alone.
Mm. Thank you very much for your question, Lance. Now, Justin, I know we said about 10:30, but I've got a heap of questions coming in from listeners, so if you don't mind waiting, we'll just take a quick break and get some news headlines, and we'll come back with more from Wellington City Mayor Justin Lester in a moment.
The policies, the promises, the politics. As New Zealand heads to the polls, all eyes are on the leaders. Has Labour leader Jacinda Ardern got what it takes to be Prime Minister? Live on News Talk ZB from 7 this Monday morning, Mike Hosking cuts through the spin to find out. Stay informed with the Mike Hosking Leaders Breakfast, powered by the New Zealand Herald and News Talk ZB.
News Talk ZB, it is 26 away from 11. We'll get some news headlines in just a moment. Again, if you'd like to ask Wellington City Mayor Justin Lester a question, the number is 0800 80 1080 and 472 1035. A lot of feedback, a lot of questions coming in, so we'll try and get through as many as possible. He'll be with me for a little bit longer, so do give us a bell, and I'm sure Justin Lester would love to hear your questions you have for him. It is 26 away from 11.
ZB headlines.
Katrina's here. Good morning to you.
Good morning. The fire that broke out in central Wellington this morning has been contained. Fire and Emergency says the blaze broke out on the 14th floor of the Williston Centre on the corner of Victoria and Williston Streets just before 9 a.m. Nobody was injured and everyone is accounted for. The Arahura settlement between Greymouth and Hokitika on the west coast of the South Island is recovering in the wake of a tornado. One person has been taken to hospital after being trapped in a car on Rusley Road after a two-vehicle crash. And the campaign trail has taken the Labour leader to Hamilton today, where she's been treated to tea, scones and bagels, and another line for selfies. In sport, American Sloane Stephens has continued her impressive comeback from a lengthy injury layoff to reach the US Open semi-finals in New York. And the weather out there today, fine spells, it's very windy, strong northerlies with gales gusting 110 kilometres per hour. The high today, 15.
Very good, thank you for that. 25 away from 11. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. Hi Justin, can you tell me, why did they close the Miramar Wharf? Because they used to have a lot of people who had a lot of enjoyment going there with kids and themselves and catching a lot of fish.
Good morning, Lynn. Good question. Funnily enough, I was down with Derek Nind. He's a CEO of Centreport. They own the wharf just the other day. And he'd love for that to be resolved as well. So if anyone's got some good ideas out there, they would quite happily, I think, be prepared to sell it to anyone for a dollar. I don't want to speak out of turn, but the reality is it's earthquake prone. It needs and it's got some wharf damage. So it's unsafe for people to be on. They don't want it to collapse into the sea, and with, you know, a decent shake or something, that could happen. So they want to look at options around improving it. It's a difficult location because it's right in the airport zone for landing, very close by. So there is some reverse sensitivity there around what you can do with it. But if we've got any good ideas, Derek will be very keen to help and to listen.
Does that help, Lynn?
Yeah, it does help. It doesn't help the people who would still love to take their kids fishing and what have you, but I thought it must have been something to do with earthquake, but it's just so many of them are closed, it seems such a shame.
Yeah, and it does indeed. Thank you very much for that, Lynn. I just wonder if you can get the Miramar Wharf or someone can get it back up to a decent standard, you'd be looking to run the harbour ferries there, I'd have thought. I mean, it seems quite an ideal place.
Yeah, it would be perfect. Mm. And I know that Jeremy Ward from East Bow West Ferries, he'd love to get in there and operating. And this is, unfortunately, it's a hangover from a day when we there was a lot more local connection and activity. And these days, with less activity around them, there's no commercial use for them. So it's a question of how much public money do you put into them for a recreation aspect. And Centreport has to weigh that up. They own it. They would be open to looking at good ideas.
Good. Just around the corner, of course, from the Miramar Wharf is Shelley Bay. And that is a bone of contention. I'm sure you've read through some of the submissions that have come through for the council on plans to develop Shelley Bay, including Sir Peter Jackson, Fran Walsh and Weta, who have had their say, concerned about the impact on the community. This is turning into a hard sell for a lot of people, isn't it, Justin? I mean, I thought there'd be a lot of support for something to happen at Shelley Bay to improve the area, but there are a lot of people now raising questions saying, look, I don't know whether anything should actually happen there.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're keen on the project, Tim, so
yeah,
thank you for your support.
I am. It's great.
And I mean, so here's the story. So I have visitors all the time into the city, friends, family and international visitors and delegations, and we take them out in and around Miramar Peninsula, and we take them out to Motu Kairangi is the Māori name for it. And it's a wonderful space. And we go out to Scorching Bay, go to Scorcherama, check out chocolate fish, and almost the universal response always is what's happening here. This is really run down. It's such a beautiful location. Wouldn't it be great to have a bit more life, a bit more activity? It'd be nice to come to a cafe or whatever. And that's the honest answer. It's really run down. So we don't own that land. We've got a sliver of land on the Seawood side, but everything that's from the road backwards is effectively owned by local iwi, so Taranaki Whānui and the Port Nicholson Block Settlement Trust. They own the land. They purchased that for about $15 million in the, I think, about 2007. And they want to do something with it. And here's an opportunity. Do we do something and do we let them develop their land? And of course, they can do whatever they want so long as it complies with the district plan. Or the decision here for us as a council is, do we sell that portion, that small portion of land that we have, to allow them to develop it holistically? I don't want to squander an opportunity because it's all well and good someone saying to us, oh, we think you should do something different. The reality is we don't own the vast majority of that land. It's owned by somebody else, and they can do with that what they wish.
But there will still be rate. I mean, we had the headline in the paper today about the $300,000 already paid for Shelley Bay. Ratepayers have to expect there'll be a fairly significant sum of money going into improving infrastructure to allow this kind of progress to happen?
Oh, so we're already spending hundreds of thousands of dollars every year on maintaining on the land that we own and on the buildings that we own that we effectively inherited that need maintenance. Mm. So it's already costing us a lot. So if we do sell that portion that we own, we'd be much better off for it because we will save, I can't remember the exact figures, but we'll save money over time. Because currently it's costing us an awful lot, and we could have to invest up to $5 million just to bring them up to a good standard of repair.
Okay, just a few more matters before we let you go. A number of listeners have said just on this cycleway issue we're talking about on Oriental Bay and cycleways in other parts of the region as well, concerned about who's coming up with these ideas for the cycleways and whether there are people behind the scenes at council, such as the engagement officer who I have mentioned and people may have read in the paper today who's pushing for it. Ewan is among those concerned. He says there seems to be a disconnect between what Justin Lester is saying re the Oriental Bay Cycleway and what some employees at the City Council in this working group are saying. In particular, they're saying that the decision on what to happen at Oriental Parade needs to be made by October to get the funding. Can the Mayor say that is not the case?
No, so what happens, this is a process, and this is why central government and local government are different and why local government's incredibly complex sometimes, because local government's real. You can see it on your streets. It might affect your neighbourhood, and people always want to have their input and have their say, and that's the right thing to do as well. That's democracy. So when central government says we've got a $330 million fund, the Urban Cycleways Fund, for all of New Zealand, and Wellington says, oh, look, we'd like a part of that, so we've got $37 million for our urban cycling fund, so for every dollar we spend, we get $2 from government. They provide the money, and then they say, well, that's great, but what does that look like on the ground? Mm. And then we say, okay, we agree, Urban Cycleway Fund's great, $37 million. Our officers then need to go out there and need to canvass views. Okay, where would that be? Are we going to spend it on the Great Harbour Way? Are we going to spend it on Thorn and Quay? Are we going to spend it on the Hutt Road? Are we going to spend it in the suburbs? And they have to go out and do a whole lot of work and canvass communities as well. So that's what's happening now. Okay. Ultimately, officers, they collect information, they make recommendations, but everything gets decided at our council table. Look, we're months away from having a decision or even getting any recommendations. Okay. And ultimately, it comes down to us and we make a decision.
Very quickly, slips around Wellington. This is just going to be a part of life now?
I think we've had the wettest 9 months certainly in the city's recent history. But it's not just Wellington either. New Zealand's been incredibly wet. Auckland's had, I think, to date, had one of its wettest winters or summer, then autumn, then winter in its history. So same with Christchurch, and Wellington's no different. That gives me some confidence that this is an aberration. Okay. It's hopefully not going to be this wet every year for eternity. But it's been very wet.
It's been incredibly wet. And just finally, indoor arena, which of course has been given, well, it's advanced. Again, I'm a very strong supporter of it because I think it's something that will advance Wellington and make it better for locals and also visitors. There has been a number of people who have come out and said, look, this is going to turn into a giant white elephant. Former Mayor Kerry Prendergast was on this program last Friday and said that she's very concerned about the spending of money and is it needed. Could it be a white elephant? I mean, is it one of those things where if you build it, they will come and we'll get Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift and... Who else do we want here? Rolling Stones, that'd be good here, wouldn't it? Although they'd probably fit in the stadium.
Play. Yeah. It's, well, the scary thing is, Tim, we're on the same page on almost everything today.
I know.
A violent agreement on everything. It's a bit scary. Perhaps that's why you're moving to Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I agree this would be something that's good for Wellington. And I've seen almost universal support from it from a broad range of stakeholders. I mean, when Kerry was mayor, Kerry did a lot of great things for the city. I mean, but I know at the time when we built the ASB Sports Centre, Kerry's when she was mayor and the council built that, look, people made the same calls. Will this be a big white elephant? Mm. But look, it's a wonderful facility. And congratulations to the council for building, getting on with it. And I think that was open just as I came in 2010 onto council. And that's why it's named after Kerry. We've got the Prendergast, well, the Prendergast Foyer there too. But again, there's always these questions of white elephant. I mean, Dunedin had the same around a ratepayer revolt, and then a mayor lost his job around the Dunedin Stadium. Dave Carl, who became mayor, was a detractor originally, but is the best thing that's ever happened for Dunedin.
Yeah,
far
yeah,
and away
absolutely.
The best thing. Yeah. Now, look, it's made their rugby team start winning games again. They've got full houses at their stadium. They're getting Ed Sheeran, I think Katy Perry's heading down there too. It's completely rejuvenated what's going on in the city. So, look, it's always controversial. And then with the benefit of hindsight, people actually understand this was a good thing.
Mm.
Likewise, this one. Look, 10 years ago, before 2010, look, we were still buying CDs. Some people were buying cassette tapes. We didn't have Netflix or Spotify. The world's changing. What's happening now in the entertainment world is that for artists to go out and make money, they tour. So there's been a huge increase in the number of concerts being held in New Zealand. 100% in the last year alone has been the increase in venues and ticket sales to entertainment experiences across the country.
Yep, and they're nearly all going to Auckland
yep.
and possibly Christchurch, possibly Dunedin.
And so Wellington for the last 10 years, we've had no growth. So we're exponential growth around the country, largely in Auckland, some Dunedin, some in New Plymouth, but Wellington has flatlined. Mm. And so we are not only not getting any of that new business, we're losing a whole lot of it. My wife, every year, will head to Auckland, and she's booked her tickets for Katy Perry next year. Every year.
Hundreds of dollars.
Justin yep. Timberlake, Beyonce, yep. Rihanna. half of them I don't even know.
Yeah.
But every year they head out and they head up to Auckland. And we've got literally thousands of Wellingtonians doing it, heading out of the city. So that's money we lose yeah. as well. Is it good for the city? I think it'll be good for the city. But we need a business case. And once we get it and when it stacks up, yep. That's when we'll press the button.